During the start of this Lenten season, Pope Benedict is currently following a daily program of spiritual exercises, together with members of the Curia and the papal household. Throughout this week-long period of prayer, meditation and reflections on the scriptures, the Pope is not holding any public or private audiences, including his Wednesday general audience. These exercises end on Saturday morning with a final meditation led this year by French Cardinal Albert Vanois. For all of us, Lent is a time of personal reflection and repentance, a time to reconsider our relationship with God and His creation, and a time to put others' needs before our own. For Christians, the 40 days of Lent are a vital time of preparation for Easter by reviewing our own lifestyles and drawing closer to God through prayer, fasting, and giving to those in need. So what are you giving up this Lent?
Chocolate, whiskey, I'm giving up some of my carbon. That's an easy conversation to have, and it's a good way to show the church being relevant in the world and doing something positive.
Ben Niblett is head of campaigns with the ecumenical aid agency Tear Fund, which, like many charities and development agencies, is increasingly focusing on climate change as a key to fighting poverty in the poorest countries. This Lent, Tear Fund is urging people to go on a carbon fast and find out exactly how such actions here in the West can directly affect communities in the developing world.
The idea is that everybody knows what Lent is, and many people give up something like chocolate. And we wanted to take that and turn it into something more useful that served poor people better, and ask people to give up some of their carbon instead. So we wanted to make it easy and give 40 simple things you can do throughout Lent that will start you down the path of reducing your carbon emissions and also get you in the habit of thinking about it. And that includes some campaign actions so that politicians get the message the church cares about climate change, because God does and because it's important. And it includes some prayers and some reflection, as well as the actions like changing your transport habits.
So you're offering people a pack with an instruction for every day, a different action for every day of Lent, is that right?
Yeah, there's 40 different things you could do. There's a pack you can get as a paper pack. It's just a little booklet. It's got 40 days worth of things in it and a bit of explanation about why you should do it. And you can get the same thing online, or we can email you day by day with the day's thing. And obviously we'd rather you went online to get it, because there's more carbon emissions in producing the booklet. But booklets work better for many people, particularly if you're using it at church. So last Sunday, my church and many others gave one to everybody, and they went down very well.
So this is aimed particularly at a Catholic audience, is it?
Well, it's an Anglican idea. So it's the Bishop of Liverpool trialled this last year, and then we decided to work with him this year to make it national. But Lent is for anybody of any denomination.
And what kind of reaction have you had from people in Britain? You say everybody knows what Lent is, but in Britain today I'm not quite so sure that that's really true.
I think the habit of giving up something for Lent is a cultural thing that's widely known. People might not know why they're giving up something in Lent, but they know that it's something people do. And that makes it a good chance to go and have that conversation at the bus stop or with your neighbour or your colleague and say, what are you giving up this Lent? Chocolate? Whiskey? I'm giving up some of my carbon. That's an easy conversation to have, and it's a good way to show the church being relevant in the world and doing something positive. And I think the church has a special message on climate change, because it's easy to get despairing about climate change, the size of the problem, the scale of the changes we need. And the church has a message of hope to say, yes, we can do this. And what's more, the prospect of consuming a bit less than we do at the moment is actually going to be good for us and make us happier than we already are.
Many of these issues you're talking about are contained in Pope Benedict's message for Lent this year. He talks particularly about the fact that we are not owners, but rather administrators or stewards of all the material goods of this earth. This is particularly applicable to the kind of campaign you're spearheading, isn't it?
It certainly is. I think that's maybe a message we're more used to hearing about our money and about our time than about the Earth's resources and the way we use them. So we've got used to consumer convenience and thinking we have a right to do whatever makes our lives easier. And once we discover that what we do has an impact on climate change, and climate change hits the world's poorest people hardest, and the effect it's having on them now, then we have to change our attitude. So it's not as though we were doing any harm on purpose. It was an accident. So if I drive to the shops or catch a plane to go to family wedding or just turn the heating up because I fancy being really warm this evening, those things are perfectly innocent things, but they cause damage. And once I know about the damage, I have responsibility to rethink how I behave.
What kind of reaction have you had from people? Because although it may be easy for them to see that if they're giving some money, for example, to a project in a developing country, it's easy to see how that can help. It's much harder to help people understand how these kind of actions can make a real impact on people's lives there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Tear Fund serves poor communities, whatever their beliefs. And if you care about poverty, if you care about justice, that means you have to start caring about climate change, because we can see the impact it's having now. So I've heard from farmers in every continent where we work that the weather has been strange recently and it's harder to make a living. So the rains don't come when they used to, or they don't come at all, or they start and then stop, or there are floods and there's too much rain at one point and droughts later in the year. And all of this makes it very hard for people whose lives are already hard to make a living. And we have a responsibility. Once we discover that, we have to do something about it. And as you say, giving money is still very useful. And we have to help poor communities adapt to climate change. So change the crops to more drought-resistant ones, change the farming methods, have early warning systems because of disasters, because there are going to be more disasters now. But money alone can't do all of what we need. We need prayer, which is another special thing that the church can do, obviously. And we need campaigning action, so that we're calling on our governments, on the British government and each government of the world, to tackle climate change and to do it together and to do it fast enough. And we also need to change our own lifestyles and cut our own carbon emissions. It's just a responsibility that we have. But it's also a good way of the church giving a lead. And I think that's my vision, really, that I'm excited that the church can start giving a lead on climate change. It's got good reasons to talk about it, because, as you say, we are under orders to care for the planet, we're under orders to care for the poor. And we know that overconsumption is a false god that's going to damage us. So it shouldn't be a surprise to see the bad things that happen as a result. So I think the church is well placed to give this lead, and I hope the Carbon Fast will help do that. And I'm encouraged that well over 250,000 people have got this Carbon Fast. And that's an awful lot of people.
When you say over 250,000, how do you know that? How do you know those figures?
That's the mixture of people who've either rung us and ordered a booklet, or have ordered it online, or have been sent one because they're already Tear Fund supporters and have asked for more of these kinds of things. I don't know how many people are just visiting the website and doing it that way. I hope there are thousands more.
Do you think the church could perhaps be doing more, hasn't taken a strong enough leadership role up till now?
I think it's time we led as much as we could, yeah, and across denominations and across countries. So particularly in the States, it's encouraging to see Christians starting to talk about climate change, to recognise that it's real, and to see that it's something God has put on our agenda that we ought to be talking about. That's particularly important for the US because they're the biggest emitting country.
You were talking about some of the countries you visited, people talking about the impact of climate change on their ability to work, to earn a living. Can you give us a couple of very specific examples of places where you hope that actions by people here in the West may actually make a difference in countries where you are working?
Yeah, there's Malawi in southern Africa is a very poor country, and recently a church that Tear Fund works with there told us this story, and we met people there. So the pastor of that church, his name is Cuthbert Gondwe, told us about the flood that the villagers had. So in that part of the world, there are usually two crops a year, and the soil is good, and it's a good place to make a living if you're an African farmer. But last year, there was a drought for the first harvest and they didn't harvest, and then there was a flood and the river flooded and damaged the crops for the second harvest, and worse still, it dumped about a metre of sand over the farmers' fields. And so we know a family called the McGlassies whose names are Andrew and Grace, and they told us it used to take 30 seconds to plant a seed in the ground, so you could get a good crop planted and a good harvest. But because of the sand, it takes about half an hour. How are you going to make a living then? And so the church we work with there has distributed drought-resistant crops, has helped organise the village so that they can dig sand off each other's fields, has helped put an embankment by the river to reduce the risk of flooding. And those are the practical things we can do on the ground, that we can use the prayers and the money of people in rich countries. But also, they tell us that if we don't start cutting our carbon emissions now, we're going to see situations like that again and again and again across Malawi, across Southern Africa, across the developing world. So it's a good warning sign to us to get on with it.
And my thanks there to Ben Niblett, Head of Campaigns with the British-based Aid and Development Agency, Tear Fund. Thank you.